than a gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast. Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Howdy.
New. Howdy do.
Episode number 2 coming to you from the Toronto Sportsman Show. A very special guest joining us here in a very short few moments from now.
Is he a surprise guest or are you announcing?
He's not surprised. He's not surprised at all.
He just got here. He just got an event. He's surprised.
I know. Jay Siemens is going to be joining us very shortly.
Live at the Sportsman Show.
For those of you who don't know of Jay, let me just tell you.
Shame on you.
He is only the most, I would say, popular, famous fishing YouTuber in the nation, without question.
Yeah.
Without question. Yeah. I saw some numbers here in the script that I was choking on as I was having my espresso this morning.
Your cold espresso.
My cold espresso. About Jay and his YouTubing adventures.
Yeah, doing real well.
This guy's a lot bigger than I even thought he was.
Speaking of big guys, yes, Steve Nieswicki just showed up.
For the afternoon shift. He's coming in for the afternoon shift.
Look at 9 o'clock on the nose. He's here, right? That's when you asked him. So
bear with us on this episode. Like the previous one, we are coming to you live to tape, if you will, from the Toronto Sportsman Show at the International
Live
Center.
To tape, that's good.
Well, it is. It's live to tape.
Yeah, I just love the way you say it. I know you love it.
That means it's unfiltered in terms of the sounds that you're hearing in the background. A little later on, our good friend Leo Stakos will probably wake up over there at his booth and he'll start sounding the alarm and getting people screaming and yelling and all that stuff.
He'll sound dead to tape.
Anything will be possible today. All of our lovely crew members are here today that we normally have in studio.
Hey, Antonio's over there.
Dean Taylor, of course, producing the show as he always does. Vova, cameraman extraordinaire, sitting front row today. We have our super fan in the audience. How thrilling is that?
CP, Calvin Pennell.
CP. That's CP.
CP, that's what I call him. Do you like cameraman or camera operator? What are you asking
him
for?
Don't give him an option.
No. I mean, you got to show respect. The guy has he's put himself in this upper echelon of shooters.
Respect him every Friday when I sign the check. That's my respect right there. And, of course, all the other staff members, we've got Matt Dugan over there in the back. Nikki V.
Hey, there's Rose.
He's there. They're Bree with him. All the kids are out back. They're selling out of the store. My daughters are here somewhere. They're wandering around. The bar's not open, so they can't be too far.
They'll find it, though. They will find it.
Anyways, we're gonna have a good time with you today.
Hello, Rose.
Wonderful show. Wonderful program. As I mentioned, Jay will be joining us very shortly. But first, let's get to business, shall we? I want to remind folks, shop.fishingcanada.com is up and running. If you are not here at the show, an opportunity to buy some of the wonderful swag that's sitting in the store right now, you can do it. You can do so online.
Yeah, those that did it, just to let you know, the next time if we ever do these shows again, which I'm assuming we're going to, you can get a pretty good deal at some of the stuff. You should definitely save on shipping right off the hop. You know what I mean? So, right.
Anyways, that's all waiting for you at shop.fishingcanada.com, or you can go through the front door at fishingcanada.com. And look who just entered into the audience.
All rise,
the Honorable Mr. Jim Grayston. Good morning, Jimmy. We've got him. Jimmy. We're saving him, buddy.
You're retired, buddy. Don't you worry. You have to sit over there now. You're retired.
He's referring to our beautiful Ontario shirt.
So go fishing in Ontario.
We're going to pull out here very shortly.
We brought him, bud. Look at that.
Stop doing that.
Do we get our names on ours? Jim has his name on his. Did we get our? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Boy, this dude live is kind of wild, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's fun.
What I was going to mention is you can go through the front door. It's fishingcanada.com. If you do that to get to the store, you'll also see that there's a plethora of other activities that you can participate in, not the least of which is getting there and hot spots and
contests.
The contest.
Woo!
Get out.
Come on. Lots of contests.
What's going on right there? Do we know
right now? I don't know. Currently, do you know? What do we got going on, bud?
We got a live scope.
A live, we're
just, a just a live scope, right?
Just a live scope. Yeah, just a live scope.
Just
plus. We got a trip to Lake Obabaka Lodge.
Nice.
And we have an in-reach.
Wow. All free of charge free. Right now.
All we need is your email.
Imagine if the one person won all that. So you got the live scope. Wow. They go to Obabaka Lodge, and if they get lost, they got the
quite the
in-reach. That'd be
there's my
good
lovely home. Children. My they plan. Finally made it back into the booth.
There they is.
Yeah. The lovely Abby. Yeah, and Jocelyn. And
Matt, did you mention Matt?
I mentioned Matt? Him right off the hop. Okay. Right off the hop. Matt
okay.
was first on my list. Anyways, the other thing you're going to notice, we got a lot of other information there, including our promos for the network, the Fishing Canada. There I go.
The Fishing Canada
Outdoor
network.
Journal nice. Radio Network that feature Steve Nidzwicki, Antonio.
Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network.
Network.
Because right now we're doing what they call Thank a you. Podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the help, Mr. Bond.
I correct you when I need to. I don't Which do it when I want to.
Which is far more often than I like
that to means think I that need to need a to. Lot. Obviously, you need a lot of help.
One of the stories going on there right now is the podcast called Ugly Pike Podcast. Episode 170 we're featuring on fishingcanada.com, and it's Muskies Canada Part 1. The president, the current president of Muskies Canada was here yesterday.
That was the current president?
Yes,
yeah?
Cool. I had an opportunity. Peter Levesque used to be, remember? Yep. Levesque, was it
yep.
Levesque?
Yeah, Levesque, yeah. Yep.
Well, the new guy was in yesterday. What a wonderful nice. Gentleman. And you know what? Him and Antonio struck up a conversation because they're both into the culinary arts.
Nice.
And I was just standing beside them listening to these two Goliaths of chefery going chefery. On.
Not chivalry,
going
chefery.
On chefery.
I like
they were
it.
Going I on. Heard. And I was amazed at what was coming out of them. What? I don't know if any of it really was true or accurate, but damn, it sounded good.
Did Antonio talk about muskies at all, or was he just enthralled
they might
in the
have, they
food
might have
stuff.
Thrown some, but I was still under the spell when they were talking about short ribs and smoke ears and all kinds
I
of
I got gotcha.
You. Anyways, a wonderful episode right now, Muskies Canada Part 1 under the Ugly Pike podcast brand on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Did I get it right?
You got it right, buddy.
Beautiful.
Good job.
So go there and check
well
that
done.
Out. Now, before we get to Jay, there's one story in the news that's on fishingcanada.com that caught both of our attention this morning.
Oh, my God. That
we just have to quickly talk about because I think it's bizarre enough that we can poke fun at it.
And it fits right in with this ongoing cheating. Let's call it cheating.
Is it a
going
trend?
On.
Is it my imagination or is it trending?
You
right
know
now?
What? To me, it's probably always been happening. It's just all of a sudden brought to the forefront. Somebody got caught in it. It got world recognition. And now that's, you know, finally crucify everybody that's doing it if we can catch them. Right. So.
Well, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, the KDWP, released a statement to USA Today Sports that says a record-breaking white crappie was found to have metal inside of it at weigh-in, voiding its state status as the heaviest catch in history.
So the staff used a handheld metal detector to scan the fish device, and it said the presence of metal was there. So here's the funny part of this. And Ange and I were talking about this and Dean earlier in that the wardens took the fish to the Topeka Zoo for X-ray examination, where it was revealed two steel ball bearings were inside the crappie. Now, what we were talking about is why didn't they just cut it open right then and there? Because it's probably dead. Any records that we know of Ontario, there have to be a dead fish to record
right.
the weight,
right.
unless it's a live release. It doesn't say anything about live release.
No.
So it's a dead fish record. The only thing I can think of is that they didn't want to cut it open there in case there wasn't steel ball bearings, which did show up on the metal detector, but, why would it lose weight? Because you lose a little bit of weight, you'd lose an ounce
but
or
I'm
half
assuming
an ounce or whatever.
For them to know that this was a new record, they must have weighed it.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got the official weight on the scales right there in front of you. That is, you mark
point,
it. You mark,
4.07 pounds, by the way.
Right.
White crappie.
You take your crayon and you mark that down somewhere and say, okay, now let's gut this thing because I don't think it's real.
Well, they can't. I mean, they scanned it with a metal detector. It showed not real. Look it. Look.
So they took it to the
local
zoo.
Unless that fish got some perfect poops in it, then there's something going wrong.
And
right
they x-rayed it. Anyways, interesting story.
That's
it's all there.
That's crazy. Right?
The whole story is sitting there at fishingcanada.com. But we're not making light of it.
4.07 pounds, yeah. 18 inches long, and a 14-inch girth, which is a good fish in its own. I don't know why you have to stuff ball bearings in
it. I have no idea.
Oh, well.
But the guy, but you know what these guys are like, these cheaters. Like, they're not very bright.
Yeah.
They're not very bright. So now you're asking questions that would have to, you'd have to use some logic.
Those walleye guys were cutting, filleting up other walleye, sticking them down their throats. That's something else, isn't it?
Let's bring on our guests of the day, shall we?
We'll do the fan question with them.
Why don't we do the fan question with them? Perfect. That's what I was, see?
Well done. All right.
The humble goldfish, everyone's favorite aquatic pet. It's small, easy to care for. What's there not to love?
Even the cat may be mesmerized by the color and movements of your aquarium friends. Goldfish are great at home, but don't let them loose.
Releasing goldfish or other domestic aquatic pets or plants into natural environments is harmful to both your pet and the planet.
Goldfish disrupt ecosystems by outcompeting native species for food and resources in degraded habitats. They contribute to algae blooms, they kill aquatic wildlife, and pass viruses and diseases contracted in aquariums to wild fish.
They could even live up to 40 years and grow as big as a football. Anglers, this is where you come in. If you find a goldfish at your local fishing spot, report it to the invading species hotline or go online to eddmaps.com.
Remember to never dump your live bait into the water and risk spreading other aquatic invaders. Keep our lakes free from invaders and don't let them loose.
As the world gets louder and louder, the lessons of our natural world become harder and harder to hear, but they are still available to those who know where to listen. I'm Jerry Ouellette, and I was honored to serve as Ontario's Minister of Natural Resources. However, my journey into the woods didn't come from politics. Rather, it came from my time in the bush and a mushroom. In 2015, I was introduced to the birch-hungry fungus known as chaga, a tree conch, with centuries of medicinal use by indigenous peoples all over the globe. After nearly a decade of harvest, use, testimonials and research, my skepticism has faded to obsession, and I now spend my life dedicated to improving the lives of others through natural means. But that's not what the show's about. My pursuit of this strange mushroom and my passion for the outdoors has brought me to the places and around the people that are shaped by our natural world. On Outdoor Journal Radio's Under the Canopy podcast, I'm going to take you along with me to see the places, meet the people that will help you find your outdoor passion and help you live a life close to nature and under the canopy. Find Under the Canopy now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Let's bring him in. Jay Seaman's caught in, buddy!
You want to let me move over? Wow, how come he gets a cheer like that? We never got that.
I know. Are you kidding me?
It's only Jay.
I know. For those of you who are not familiar with this young man, he has got the world by the short ones, as they say, in the YouTube industry. He is on fire.
Fire.
And we had the privilege of working with Jay earlier. Actually, it's not the new year, but last year.
Last year.
We went to his private little abode on a wonderful piece of paradise on Lake of the Woods called Uncle Mark's Outpost. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. This is my first time at a Toronto sports show, and this is
wow.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. It's big. You guys do it big here.
Wow. Oh yeah, we do it big here, buddy. For sure. You never visited here at all?
No.
No.
Wow. No. But the nearest major shows would be in Winnipeg for me. And this is big time. This is
this bigger than Winnipeg?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, you get lost in here.
I heard a rumor early this morning, that Jay...
Why'd you call it a rumor?
Well, because I've got the horse right here. I want to hear the horse's mouth telling me this. You hit 1 million views on a video you put up last week?
I'm not sure which video you're talking. I've had
ice fishing with your wife.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, but yeah, it hit 1 million views.
Are you kidding me? And you're still doing this scuzzy little podcast show with us?
Oh, stop.
Are you serious? I'm honored.
It's, you know, the thing about YouTube is that there's videos that I put weeks into making, right? I might go up, who knows where, you know, drive 17 hours, spend a week, and I'll put it online and it gets X number of views. And then the next one I'll film in my backyard and it might get a million. I've only done that twice on YouTube, but
blows my mind. Buddy.
But you know, and what? I don't like to get caught up in the numbers, right? Because
hell yeah, I do. It's all about numbers. Are you kidding
all
me?
All about numbers.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It just blows my mind.
Which segues perfectly into our fan question. We're going to include you, buddy, in this one. It's submitted by Craig Clarkson from California.
California.
And Craig asks, how can I get, if at all possible, my lady friend interested enough to go out and at the very least, and watch as I fish? He wants to get his girl out in the water. So it's a perfect segue for your video we were just talking about.
Well, that's something that my wife, you know, when we started dating, she liked to fish, right? She grew up on Lake of the Woods. And Sam liked being in the boat, but I realized very quickly that my average fishing day and her average fishing day are very different. For me, I remember your first couple trips and like, okay, Sam, I've never been to the spot before. We're going to have to find the Portage Trail. We're going to snowmobile. We're going to camp on the ice. And I was just like, yeah, this is probably a little more extreme than she would appreciate. So like, instead of those exploratory missions, it's like, we're going to go to something a little bit safer, you know, 4 to 6 hours is probably the sweet spot for a fishing session. Not a 12 hour bender.
Yeah.
And,
that's the key, right?
And probably not musky fishing, probably walleye jigging for a while, you know,
of anything,
so it's,
right?
It's all about expectations too. And that's what taking anyone new to fishing, you're going to turn them off if you go right for the Hail Mary and
you go for musky casting and a nasty October day, they're not going to enjoy that too much. Yeah. I don't even enjoy that.
It's funny how we lose sight of that, especially with kids. We want to take them out and we assume that they're going to have the same experience that we do when we do what we love to do. And that, in our case, in your case as well, and that is spend 10, 12, 14 hours having at it all day long, maybe taking a lunch break or maybe not. But we expect everybody to be caught up to the same speed and level that you are. Big mistake, especially with kids, because you'll turn them off and they're gone.
Yeah.
You've lost them, right?
So what's our answer here, guys? We have to take them out for a limited amount of time, right? Like a 4-hour day, maybe something like that on the water, I'd say. Make them nice weather conditions. You don't want to, and the species, make them go for crappies.
Bluegill, perch, lots of fish, small fish. And there you go.
Hello, ladies. Who's next?
what are you going up?
We're taking ladies out fishing. They're all going to be coming around here going up your J now.
That wouldn't be far-fetched. Also, failed to inform you that Jay is also an accomplished cinematographer.
Oh, my God. Really
and
good.
I'm talking accomplished cinematographer. He is the co-founder of maybe Canada's real first YouTube success show called Uncut Angling.
With Aaron Weep.
Aaron paved the way for a lot of, you know, it was 2011 is when we started that, which is crazy. That makes me feel like I was 18, 19 when we started that.
Yeah.
And people were like, what's YouTube?
What is that? Right. You guys were pretty funky. I mean, I have to admit. Right?
Aaron's a wild man.
He's different. That's for sure, man.
I had an interesting conversation with him about 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he's got some, his view of things is, all I can say is it's spectacular. And now I understand why he's so successful. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
He would never do things the easy way.
The conventional easy way.
And the question when I filmed for him, you know, all those years, it was just like, well, why doesn't Aaron put up more videos? And it's like, he just had these ideas. And if he didn't get it exactly how he wanted it, then he would scrap the footage that's sitting on the hard drives. People wouldn't even believe. Like, I remember us driving from Winnipeg out to Nipissing. We fished for muskies for 6 days, and the biggest muskie was 47 inches, big fat 47. He's like, yeah, that's not big enough, and just never made a video of it.
Wow.
And I'm just you know? But that's what made his videos are the type of thing that people, they will rewatch it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, he's, I appreciate that. He would never do things the easy way.
He's brilliant, man. I that was the first real conversation and I have had.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to connect.
And I have a totally different perspective on him now. And wonderful, wonderful man. That's great. Absolutely wonderful. So now I know why the two of you did so well.
I learned, I owe so much to him. Like, it just, I learned so much. He paved a way when it was dealing with, you know, partnerships, brand sponsorships, that sort of stuff. Yeah. It was, he took some lumps and paved a way for myself and other people to do what we do. And it's just like,
is there a place in your world?
Yeah.
Is there a place in your world? And your world right now is on top of the world. I'm talking the digital fishing world. Is there a place in your world for two old guys like us?
Oh yeah.
You think?
Well, yeah, I think what's so impressive with you guys, because I grew up watching you guys. Like,
hey, come on now.
He's young enough, he can say that.
This whole experience is still surreal to me. Like, I know I've said this on past podcasts, but like 12-year-old Jay would not believe it. I'm pretty sure I still have VHS with recordings of your shows from, Global in the Morning.
Yeah.
I think you guys have done such a good job of adapting. And I think that's this whole world that's social media, from TV to social media. It's just like being willing to adjust. And this is the same thing. We could go down a deep rabbit hole. People going off about LiveScope. And they're just like, I'm not going to do it. And it's like, you have to adapt. Like, it's, and even with YouTube, even though I might have a bit of a grasp on YouTube right now, it could change. And then it's what's next. And what you guys have done is, you're doing TV and YouTube and this podcast network. Like, you never want to just settle. And that's something I'm aware of with YouTube, is I never want to have that formula being like, okay, I got it figured out. Cause when I have it figured out, then I don't have it figured out.
Yeah. Like,
we're uncomfortable getting comfortable. Does that make sense?
That's perfect.
As soon as we get uncomfortable, we know that we've gotten too comfortable in our space, and it's not nice. And so we spend a bit of time trying to figure out, how do we get here? Let's move, and we do that.
You know, it's kind of crazy. Just thinking, we're having this conversation that Jay would pull a million views on that video 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, we don't realize that we're getting a million views every Saturday. But our million views are totally different people than Jay's. Yeah, what I mean? It's a whole different world. It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, it's different. Yeah, it's different demographics, like, and it's shifting. It's changing. And who knows where it's going to be in 5 years from now?
That's a good point. It's a really good point.
It's funny you said that, because obviously I give that a lot of thought, right? It's a different audience, not just in the demo, but in the way we've captured that audience. Yeah. And that's what really amazes me about him, because in my thinking, I'm real comfortable with broadcast, right? That's all we've done. Yeah. So I understand it, and I understand the mechanics of broadcasting. You do this, you're going to get that. I don't understand his world. So for him to hit a million in his world blows my mind.
Right.
Because your world is far more competitive than ours ever was. Keep in mind, when we started in this business, there were three television channels.
Yeah.
Period. We had three competitors.
Yeah.
And we had three channels and a cable channel called TSN.
Right.
A little closed circuit television, as we called it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, you, on the other hand, are up against millions.
Oh, my God.
Tens of millions.
It's so competitive.
Oh, yeah.
I think, it's the footage from cell phones is so good these days. And I just released a video a couple weeks ago. Whole thing was shot with my cell phone. And I'm like, why do I even bring the big cameras along sometimes, right?
You got a $4,000 Sony that you use all the time. You don't even need it. Right.
Wave at us, Volva. He doesn't like to hear that.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Think of that. But that's hilarious.
And then you can upload whenever you want. And the crazy thing is, what I struggle with is, I'll post a video, and in that comment thread already, people are like, I'm ready for the next one. And it's like, give me a second to breathe. I just posted that one, right? God, and it's there's no set numbers, right?
That's the big difference deals. You know what I mean? That's huge, because you are constantly
what is the perfect frequency? How often should you be posting something?
I looked at the stats from last year, and I did 69 videos on my channel, and most of them being 15 to 30 minutes.
Wow. That's
and then a lot. I did 4 videos for Meat Eater for my series there. And that gives me anxiety to think about, but I can't think about 70, and not that 70 was a goal. For me, it's I finish the video and then on to the next one and then on to the next. Yeah. But if not every video is the same. So one might be that video that did 1 million views was my wife and I going fishing. We fished for 3 hours in that video. And then the next time I'll go to the Arctic and I'll fish for a week and it'll do a tenth of the views. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, that's why I say as much as I, you know, it feels good if a video, if you see those numbers climbing,
sure.
But I got my start being behind the camera, filming for Aaron, filming for other brands.
Yeah.
And I love good cinematography.
Yeah.
So I never want to hurt that in the mix of all this. And
saying that, then using a phone should kind of bother you a little bit.
But the phones are getting so good.
I know.
You know, what I appreciate about you guys, and you guys have done such a phenomenal job, is the storytelling aspect.
Yes.
Because the camera gear comes and goes and whatever, but like if you can tell a good story, that's a skill that you can take now to podcasting, to radio, to
you and I talked about that yesterday.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's telling the stories. And
speaking of telling the stories, how are you adapting to the Ontario Tourism Booth? Because that's storytelling big time, because that's all people want to talk to you about. Okay, where should I go with it and tell me how you?
Oh,
so that's all storytelling.
So first off, people are like, so did you drive down from Kenora?
Right.
So I mean, if people fish, they know Kenora is in the furthest northwest corner, sort of. You're like, did you drive? And I'm like, just to put this into perspective, I could drive to Texas in the same time as it would take me to drive to Toronto. So no, I drove to Winnipeg.
That's true.
And then I flew. Destination Ontario brought me out and I started working with them this year. And they sent me to some great locations. And what I've realized is Ontario is so freaking big. And my geography is actually pretty bad in Ontario. I can tell you from Kenora down to now I'm learning down to Wawa. But it's like
down to Wawa.
Yeah, down to Wawa. But my geography is like, awesome. I know Sunset Country pretty well now.
Yeah.
But you look at the map and it's like,
you go from Wawa to Sarnia or Windsor. Wawa to Windsor. That's a lot of land.
Detroit River. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
anywhere in between.
We interrupt this program to bring you the much anticipated bonus code for Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network giveaway. This week's code is GLASSES. Capital GLASSES. That's glasses. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries towards a Garmin LiveScope Plus system. How cool is that? For those of you who aren't entered yet, hello, what are you waiting for? Head on over to fishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode. Click contest and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. Next week's code, tune into Ugly Pike Podcast for that one. Now, back to the show.
We interrupt this program to bring you the much anticipated bonus code for the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. This week's code is OUTPOST. All caps, that's OUTPOST. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries towards all our current giveaways. For those of you who aren't entered, what are you waiting for? Head over to fishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode, click contests, and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. And now, back to the episode. But, Jay, I'm going to change the subject. Is there anybody in Canada now, in the YouTube world, that's an up-and-comer that you know of, or somebody that you either you say, hey, I love the stuff, or, oh, boy, this guy's going to be competition.
Oh, man.
There's got to be somebody coming up now.
I mean, my buddy Clayton Schick is doing it.
I've seen his stuff.
Pretty much full-time. He guides a little bit, but he's doing the YouTube thing. He does a fantastic job, catches a ton of big fish. Like, that's his shtick, is catching big fish. He's guided for 20 years, and you want him to see big lake trout, big walleye, big pike. That's his thing. As far as other up-and-comers, what's tough about the YouTube thing too is like, it's really tough to do it part time. You kind of got to dive into the deep end.
Exactly. Interesting.
And that's something I learned from Aaron is like, as soon as you, and that's something I'm careful of, is like, I do have an entrepreneurial spirit, but I'm careful that at the core of everything is making videos. Cause if you get spread too far from that, well, that's what needs to be the focus point. I had an intern from Montreal a couple years back. His name is Zachary Saladino, and he's a fishing OD is his channel. And he's in that same spot of like, you know, needs to make a living.
Right.
But also wants to grow his YouTube channel. Yeah. And he did an amazing job interning for me for the summer. And I offered him, you know, to come back the next summer. He's like, no, I want to work on my own thing, which props to him. And he's making beautiful videos, but now he's like, And I think his stuff should be getting more views than it does. But sometimes with YouTube, you need a break as well. May that be a video getting views, or maybe that was.
We hear that all the time, right? We hear that all the time, that you got to get lucky. And I don't believe in luck, by the way, just so that you know. But I'm going to ask you, in your opinion, how much of the YouTube success that you've enjoyed is luck?
I don't think there's any luck. I don't think there's any luck, because probably the most common conversation I'll have with people when they start making videos is, I just filmed all this footage, I brought it back to my computer, now what the heck do I do?
Somebody
asked me yesterday, they said, so what's the ratio of shooting to editing? And it's probably a day and a half of editing for every day of fishing, sort of thing. And people want to go fish all the time, and that it's tough because you have to pay your dues. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I was in my office, and this even happened the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this video. You'll appreciate it. I bought some VR glasses.
I saw it.
And I hooked it up to my live scope.
Yeah.
So I had like heads up display of my live scope while I was ice fishing. But I knew that this video was a hot topic, something I wanted to put out, something I knew that another YouTuber was putting out a similar video. So I'm like, I need to get this out. So I stayed up till whatever, 1:30, editing. I do have a guy, that Brandon, that edits and shoots and does amazing work. But I'm like, it's the weekend, I got to go back into the dungeon and crank this one out. And it's those days that 2 and 3 in the morning, you're editing by yourself and your friends are out fun fishing or partying or whatever they want to do. And it's like, you got to pay your dues. And people don't always see that. They see the video fishing. And right. I'm living my dream, but you have to have a crazy work ethic.
How important would it be for you to be the first to throw that out there? Because you're going against a big, that was Johnny B or somebody.
He did it with the Apple Vision Pro. Yeah.
So if you're getting out ahead of him, is it important like that? Or is it
I think those videos were different enough that mine was ice fishing, his was the Apple Vision Pro.
Right.
But he's the one that I got some inside intel that he was putting that video out.
Right on.
And I already had the glasses ordered. It was already like a video in my mind. And I'm just John's a friend of mine. We chat once in a while, but like
he,
I'm just like, I need to get this out.
Yeah. Now you've used the glasses. We haven't yet. A little overkill, you think? Be honest. Come on.
I filmed another video that I haven't posted yet, but I was on Lake Winnipeg and I drilled a hole, put my live scope in. Then I drilled a hole at 15 feet, 30 feet, 45 feet, 60 feet. And fish were moving through like crazy. I put the glasses on, so I'm not tethered. And it was like Plinko. I picked my hole and a fish showed up at 15 feet, dropped down, caught the fish. Fish showed up at 60 feet, dropped down. It was so that was like, whoa, this is.
That's
this you is can't walk be, around, though. You can't like, can you see? Yeah, you can see through the light.
How far away can you?
100 feet further, probably.
Wait a minute. Let me understand.
I'll bring the glasses later. And so, I got them along.
So you put the unit here.
Yeah.
You put the unit here.
Yep.
And then you can walk away from the unit.
So I have the Active Captain app that casts onto my phone. And then from the phone, it's corded to the glasses.
Okay.
Right.
So now you can walk away from your hole where you just drilled and put the... And you walk over to wherever to drill another hole or whatever you want to do.
Whatever you need.
Meanwhile, you're checking this out. Oh, my God.
From home base, basically.
That's because in the past, that type of fishing in the past, you would need two people to do like the tag team fishing.
Right.
Yeah. One guy would spin the deucer. So the next thing I want to rig up is I want to take my AquaView pod.
Yeah.
Right. With the remote that spins it, the one for spinning the camera. Right. And then I want to put the live scope transducer on it. This is giving someone a good video idea if they want to beat me to it. But you put the live scope pole on there, you put it on the AquaView pod, and then I can spin it. I can hold my auger in my hand. I can spin it, find the fish, walk over with the glasses, drill the hole. People are going to lose their minds in the comments. People already were like, they get angry.
I was going to say, they're hating it more than liking it, aren't they? Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, whatever, don't use it. That's fine.
By the way, your comment about somebody stealing your idea, I've only got one thing to say about that. You're often... imitated but never duplicated, my friend. So don't worry about that. You'll be in good shape.
That's fantastic.
We got to get into those goggles.
I'll bring the glasses over and we'll go to the Garmin booth and you guys can.
I think you and I will fall out of the boat. We put them on, the first thing we'll do is trip and fall right over.
Oh,
the
man, I definitely lost my depth perception in the whole thing.
When you were doing it, I could tell you were a little bit off. Sure. That's for sure.
How's your son?
He's good. Unfortunately, he got diagnosed with diabetes a couple of weeks ago, type 1. So that's been a whirlwind for a toddler. He's at 18 months. That's pretty young for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I got an amazing wife and she's holding down the fort and giving him needles and keeping his sugars in check. So it's
it's controllable, right? It's a very
controllable. Yeah. But you never want to see something like that happen to your kid. Right. And,
right.
But, you know, the tech's a lot better than it was. Yeah. And,
yep.
We wish him nothing but the best.
Good luck to you and the family on that one.
I appreciate that.
Uncle Mark's Outpost. Tell folks about that. We've done it a million times telling him, but I want you to reach out to him right now and tell him what you have built.
Well, I'll give some insider info. So Uncle Mark's Outpost was actually the guy that designed the outpost is here. He's over in the Overland booth. His name's Joel Tremblay.
Oh wow.
We did our first YouTube video in the series was two buddies of mine bought a plot of land on Lake of the Woods, about a 22-mile boat ride down the lake. And they said, "Do you want to join in on this purchase?" And I was like, once I found out where it was and knew the fishing area, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in. I was like, what's the plan? And they were like, well, we want to put up a prospector's tent or a little A-frame cabin.
Yeah, a little shack.
Yeah, that got completely out of hand. I put it on a YouTube video. Joel messaged me. He said, can I design the cabin? Cabin went 10 times over budget. We had people from all over North America from the YouTube community come down and come fishing and help out.
That's awesome.
It was a wild experience. We named it after my Uncle Mark, who is like the lead contractor and guy that kind of pulled everybody together. And now, so we're filming this on a Saturday, and on Monday, we're all driving down there. I'm bringing six guys, three camera guys, and we're filming a competition, an ice fishing competition based out of the outpost.
Nice.
So it's a series that hopefully will develop into more of a thing. It's going to be called The Outpost, and we can bring it to other outpost locations. So we already got another season lined up. Another season lined up at a fly-in in the north.
Nice.
And but basically, it'll be, you know, biggest lake trout, biggest burbot, biggest walleye, biggest perch, biggest crappie, whitefish. I must be missing something. Pike, walleye. I'm not sure. But anyways, it'll be a multi-species, 4 days of fishing. Catch the biggest of each species, and we're all staying in the same location. That's our home base. So
that's freaking
you leave
amazing.
The cabin at sunrise, and you're back at sunset. And be good camaraderie in a series that'll
it's
drop next winter.
For,
so
you're great for Uncle Mark's too, but it's a perfect home base for something like that too, right? You get the capacity to hold the people, and it's all the comforts of home for sure in that place. Yeah. So good for you.
I am looking forward to my next trip there.
You're welcome back anytime. Yeah.
For the simple reason that it is the most enjoyable outback experience that anybody could ever hope for. At any price.
Well, that means a lot because you guys have been everywhere. So, I mean, for myself, too, I've been very fortunate to travel to a lot of different outposts and cabins. And it's like, how can I take my favorite parts of all of them?
Yeah. And that's what you did. You did it. You did a good job of that. And we had, when our trip there, the fishing was tough. And we still come out with a great show. I mean, as you guys did, amazing. There's just fish all over Lake of the Woods. It's ridiculous. We just didn't get any big fish that time. You can imagine enhancing that trip with big fish involved in there. It's nonstop,
on Lake of the Woods, that is quite likely to happen.
It's going
to
happen for sure.
More so than not, I would think,
without a doubt.
So what's the newest trend? What I mean, we talked about the VR goggles. I think that's still not realistic for most anglers to aspire to get into this year. But what is the next trend? What's something close that we can all reach and touch that, in your opinion, is going to help anglers get more into it?
Ooh, get more anglers into it. I do think that things trending towards platforms that younger people are on is important.
Yep.
Right. So, yep. I mean, YouTube, Instagram, that sort of stuff. I think that is trending towards a younger demographic and just keeping, I think that helps.
Yeah.
I do think that the tech has helped kids. I know that screens is a complicated topic because you don't want your kids on screens all the time. But like for kids, all of a sudden younger kids, it does turn into I played some video games growing up, and I love that video game aspect. And I obviously still love being outside. So there's aspects of that I think is good.
What about tech? What do you guys think? Both you guys. Garmin. What is Garmin going to come up with next?
Oh, I know what
they're coming up. Is it just an extension on LiveScope? They got something brand new coming out, you think? What do you think?
I think that the next thing that they will... it might not be the next thing that they will release, but what's currently being looked at is how they can scramble the signal that they're shooting out of those transducers so that the fish can't get too comfortable knowing what it is,
right?
Because that is becoming a bit of a problem. as you know. So you can't sit over top of them for too long before they figure it out. So I think the next wave is to scramble that signal and just
you're talking live scope.
Fool the hell out of them.
I'm assuming because they all put out signals. But yeah. Jay, what are you?
There's some tech, and I'm sure it's well known in the saltwater world. And apparently, if you buy a boat over a certain value, it's probably going to have this tech on. But it's basically like a 360 version of it.
Oh yes.
What, do you know what that's called?
He just told me about that the other day.
I just told you about
all the sailfish guys. They'll drive around, and it's like a 360.
I forgot about that.
Is that a Garmin?
I'm not sure. I feel like Garmin might have something like that, too.
They have something like that. And so what it is, it's a single transducer that is actually shooting 360 degrees all the time.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is just swipe that screen, and you're actually turning 360 degrees. Yeah. Think about how incredible that is.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a school of fish that you're working out here, and next thing you know, they're gone, and you don't have to start moving stuff around. And there it is.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, that is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Absolutely mind-boggling.
Okay.
And that technology is there right now.
Yeah.
You said in
I don't even know. It's exponentially more expensive than a live scope. So it's these guys that are buying these $500,000 boats. Well, yeah, then that's a no-brainer. But, you know, when someone's on a little aluminum boat.
Are you here all week with Ontario Tourism?
Today, and then I'm flying back. Yeah, here for 2 days, so a quick trip. But it's great to get to the big city. And
oh yeah, you got to be all lit up. Hey?
Yeah, Kenora. It's like where I live. You know, I don't see people. Yeah,
is the queen of Ontario North Ontario Tourism looking after you?
Yeah, Carol's great. Yes, I've got the full experience and met a lot of people, and it's good because. With YouTube, I put a video online, and unfortunately, you know, I see numbers, but I don't always get that chance to interact. And even commenting back isn't the same way. So to actually be able to meet the people that make my dreams a reality, it's humbling. Always very humbling.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when somebody says, hey, I just saw you. I just saw a video of you doing this, this, and this. And I went there and I tried that. Man, it worked. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's so gratifying. Right?
We get one of the big ones with television is that on a sportsman show like this, we'll be on that Saturday morning, like this morning here. We'll be on and all of a sudden, hey, I just saw you up at Jay's place, Lake of the Woods. You're down here now. What's going on?
Yeah.
That's freaking hilarious.
Anyways, Jay, thank you for sharing some time. I know you're very busy down here. Love to have you on the show. Anytime you got something to say, man, come on back.
I want you guys to take me fishing.
Well, that's
good. I want to come fishing for striped bass. That's
buddy. Okay. We can do that. We can do that.
I like the sound of that.
You'll love it. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have done coast to coast, but those striped bass ones, there hasn't been that much documented in Canada of it. And you guys have done such a good job. And that's what I want. That's great. Yeah. You make fish look big, Pete. It's great.
There's a technique, buddy. A special technique that not many have.
That might be something we could work out for you, buddy.
We can do that.
Thank you once again for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. The usual cast, Dean Taylor, our producer, thank you very much.
Come on now.
Volva, our cameraman, who you would make obsolete in your world, so we won't talk about that.
We'll keep Volva for a little bit anyway.
We'll keep him for a little
another
while
day
longer.
Or two.
Who else we got here? We got Nick.
We got
Nicky
everybody.
V. We got all of the
podcast network people.
Podcast network people all here with us. If you're at
Calvin
the Sportsman Show,
Calvin,
our super fan there. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.